Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of James. The New Testament book of James and chapter number 1. James and chapter number 1. We're in this series of going through the book of James with the idea of living as a first century Christian, having a revolution back to the Bible. We know that today that Christianity has taken a turn away from the Lord, that it's now dependent upon man. And we understand that man can get some things accomplished by man's intellect, by man's strength, by man's force of will. But we need a desire not what man can get accomplished, but what God and God alone can do. And that can only be done by faith. With that in mind, notice what we're in the book of James in chapter number 1. James chapter number 1, and notice if you don't mind, let's get a good running start. The book of James chapter 1, let's just start in verse 1, and we'll read through the context we were at. James chapter 1, and notice with me if you don't mind, in starting in verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of a sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of James in chapter number 1? The book of James, chapter number 1, and notice with me in verse 6 where it says, ask in faith. Ask in faith. With this, we're going to touch more upon this, living as a first century Christian with this idea that we're supposed to ask in faith. Now, remember that we always need to define our terms, and we have to define what we mean by faith. We know that in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, it gives a description of faith, that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that it goes on to describe in Hebrews 11, verse 6, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we know that faith pleases God. And all throughout Hebrews chapter number 11, it goes through a history of some of the people in the Old Testament, specifically Genesis, where it says, by faith gives the name and what they did, that faith always produces action. But all of Hebrews chapter number 11 just describes faith. In Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 2, it defines faith. What is a good definition of faith? Well, if you're in James, just turn over for me just one page back. Hebrews chapter 12, and notice with me in verse 2, and I want you to see this for yourself. Let's clearly define what biblical faith is. Hebrews chapter number 12, Hebrews chapter 12, and notice with me in verse 2, notice this description, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What is a good definition of faith? It is looking unto Jesus. It's trusting and depending upon him. So turn back with me to James chapter 1. So when it says that we are supposed to ask in faith, what is faith? What is a good definition of faith? Looking unto Jesus. So if we're going to ask in faith, we are asking looking unto Jesus. Does that make sense? That we're asking looking at him. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he's what? That he's God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. When we come to God, we have to look at him as if he's God. What does that mean? Well, I need wisdom. I go to God who can give me wisdom. I need strength. I go to the God who can give me strength. I need direction. I could go to the God who can give me direction. I need finances. I go to the God who's able to provide. Looking unto Jesus, believing that he can, believing. Notice again in verse 6, James chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith, we understand, looking unto Jesus, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So here it's talking about if we're going to ask in faith, that we're not supposed to waver. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we go, all right, God, can you please supply money? I don't think he can do it. That's not asking in faith. It's believing that he can and that he will and that he is able to. That if you believe that he can, guess what? You're right. If you believe that he can't, guess what? You're right again.
Amen.
You believe that God can and trust in him and put your faith in him. He could do everything but fail. That we are asking him with confidence. So many times we pray so wimpy. And that's the idea of praying for wavering. Lord, if you want, maybe if you get around to it, I could really use some more money. Thank you. You know, I need to pay this bill. But, you know, if you get around to it, I know that you got, what's wavering. It's a lack of faith. It's not depending and trusting in God. We pray so wimpy sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that we go and be disrespectful. But do you believe that God can save someone?
Yeah.
Do you believe that God can fix someone? Do you believe that God could give us wisdom? You know, all of those come to the idea that I can go boldly because God is able to do those things. And because he's able, I could depend and trust in him. Notice it goes on and kind of gives this description. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Meaning the guy who's wavering. You know, if you're not trusting that God can work, well then, you can't be dependent that God's going to answer your prayer.
Amen.
You believe that God is. Remember, it's all based off of his character, of who he is. James chapter 1 and verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now we're adding to this idea of how we think. A double-minded man. This carries the idea that when we are not singular, it's double or more. That we don't have a mind that's attentive to God. That we don't have a thing. So many times that our mind will waver and start thinking about other things and going on. That we need to have a disciplined of mind, especially when you're trusting in the Lord. Depending upon him. There is a confidence crisis in our country at the moment. A feeling of uncertainty. But instead of blaming people outside the faith, we must understand where the real confidence crisis lies. It's not amongst unbelievers or their lack of confidence in the banking system or the future or the government or science or viruses or whatnot. It's a lack of trusting in who God is. Our crisis today is a faith crisis. At the heart of the crisis is our lack of understanding of who God truly is. You hear me say this all the time. Let me repeat it. It all begins with God. It all ends with God. God is the goal. Most of the problem that we have is not an access or thing. It's our vision of God. Who is God? Can God be God? For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is what? That he is God. Can God work? That's where our thing is. It's why we don't see a lot of things done, is because we don't believe that God will to the degree that we trust him. It's almost like hedging our bets. Well, I'm going to trust in God, but I'm also going to trust in this. Yep. That's double-minded. I throw my dependence on God and trust him and let him work. Now, that doesn't mean we do foolish decisions. For example, some people go to the idea of foolishness where they go, well, I'm trusting in God by faith. I don't have to go to the doctor. Well, that's foolishness. Can God use a doctor?
Yes.
So, but am I confidence totally in the doctor? No, it's in the Lord that God could use a human instrument to help get things accomplished. Does it make sense? You know, I don't believe in insurance. And then all of a sudden something happens and they want to go fund me and want everyone. Well, what just happened? Where's your consistency? If you believe that, you know, God could trust you, well, then trust. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm thankful that God can do things like insurance. I'm not trusting in insurance. I'm trusting in God. But when something happens, God could use that thing to help supply what I, does that make sense? We're not being a double standard. We're saying we trust God as we go through life and trusting, and our confidence is in him. By the way, where do we get more faith? Do we sit here and scrunch up our eyes and clench our fist? I need faith. Give me more faith. Where do we get more faith? The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where do I get more faith? The word of God. That's why the greatest thing you could do on a daily basis is to read the word of God for yourself. Why does that produce more faith? Well, class, what's the main purpose of the Bible? To reveal God to man. What is our faith? Looking unto Jesus. You see, the more that you trust in God's word, the more you learn about God. The more that you learn about God, the more you trust in him. That's why reading your Bible is so important, because it's going to help your faith by learning more about God so you can trust him more. Whenever someone has a lack of faith, it's because there's been a lack of Bible reading. What do I need when I need more faith? Go back to your Bible. Learn more about who God is. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is God. That's where our faith lies. Our faith lies looking unto Jesus, looking to him. Now, all this was introduction. Let's kind of dive in and see what James tells us a little bit about faith. So notice, first of all, as we hit this context, our Christian faith is prompted by our trial. Our Christian faith is prompted by our trial. Notice again in verse 2, we've kind of hit this before, but as a running start, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, different trials, different things you run into. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So we understand that our Christian faith is prompted by our trial. Why is this? Because faith is always an exercise. You exercise faith. So if I want to get stronger, I just don't look in the mirror and just become stronger. I have to exercise. I have to do something about it. I have to work out. Well, your faith, in order to increase, has to be exercised. It has to be put to the test. And as we understand faith, God doesn't give you the biggest load. For example, if I was to start bench pressing again, who haven't seen the inside of a gym in a long time, I wouldn't immediately just put 250 on the bar and go, all right, we got this. Nope. I would work out at a level I can handle. But what happens is I put myself under a stress. I work out. I put myself under a bondage. Now, is that struggle that I'm having good? Yeah. Is it necessary for me to get stronger? Absolutely. Let me give an example. Sometimes in the Christian life, we blame Satan for a lot of things. Man, Satan's really fighting me today. And we do that just because we want to blame someone. But we understand the trying of our faith worketh patience. That let patience have her good work. For example, I heard a testimony of a man who was a paratrooper inside of World War II. His job was to jump from a perfectly good plane and jump behind enemy lines and try to wreak havoc so that way the rest of the Allies could storm the beach or whatnot. And so when they're working out, they have to do a lot of things. Like they have to go do a forced march. They have to go run up hills with a 75-pound pack. And while they're doing all those exercises and training, they don't look to each other and said, man, Adolf Hitler's really fighting against us today. You know what Adolf Hitler wants them to do? Nothing. Mm-hmm. He wants them weak and flabby and weak. He does not want them strong. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the working out of them, the trials they were under, were to help strengthen them up for the fight that Satan didn't want them to fight. In order for us to have more faith, we have to learn to trust in God. How do we learn to trust in God? We're placed in situations we have to trust God. We have to depend upon Him. If you had no trials, no hard times, we would be weak, flabby, and anemic because we would never trust God. Amen. We have to have this. So the trying of our faith worketh patience. Let patience have her good, perfect work. Why? Because faith is looking unto Jesus. We are being trained by our trials, by hard times, by situations that come on to trust God more. So when you have a flat tire, you don't kick it and say, listen here, Satan, you hate me. Why do you hate me, Satan? We understand I have another opportunity to trust God. I'm working with kids and the kids aren't behaving. It's a good time to test my patience and my faith. God, give me grace today not to kill them. I mean, to give me wisdom to work with them today. I'm depending upon you because I recognize I can't do it myself. We have another opportunity to trust the Lord. When that person cuts you off in traffic, it doesn't give you an excuse to go yell at them and tell them how goofy they are, even though they can't hear you. You may not use the word goofy. It gives you an opportunity to test your faith. Lord, I have to trust in you right now because my flesh wants to go be stupid, be crazy. We learn to trust in Him. That our Christian faith is prompted by our trial. In order for us to have more faith, more dependence on God, we have to be put in situations where we have to trust in Him. Because we will not trust God by ourselves. You ever think about why in schools you have to have tests and quizzes? Because if you didn't have tests and quizzes, the students would never learn the information. Right? We're forcing them because they're going to be put through a trial, a test, to learn the information. As much as we would like in a theoretical, perfect world to give them a book, hey, I want you to read this book, and I want you to learn everything in here, but we're not going to have any tests or quizzes. You know, I just have the expectation that you're going to do this on your own. Not going to happen for the most part. You may have one person out of a million that goes, hey, this is a great opportunity. I'm going to read this book and study it for myself. And then all the rest of the people pick on that person, right?
Yep.
We have testing quizzes because people are sinners. I can learn faith without any trials. God says, no, you can't. You have to have them. You have to be put in situations where you get to trust in God, where you get to trust in God. Our Christian faith is prompted by our trial. It's not just that we're having a hard time or Satan's flesh fighting against me. I have another opportunity to exercise and strengthen my faith. By trusting in God in these situations. And by the way, it wouldn't be much of a test if it was in the most perfect circumstances.
Amen.
You ever wonder why you have more trials when you're tired? It's because you're getting put in those situations where you have to trust God in inconvenient times. Not just when it's convenient. So our Christian faith is prompted by our trial. Something else that we understand is that our Christian faith reveals true humility. Our Christian faith reveals true humility. Notice with me in verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Wavering is a wave that is a wave of the sea driven in the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And it goes on. But what we understand is that we live by our life by faith, or we live our life by force. Sometimes we'll talk about, what is the opposite of faith? Some people will say, well, the opposite of faith is unbelief. Well, the Bible gives a different definition in the book of Habakkuk, where it talks about that the opposite of faith is pride. You see, you're either trusting in God or you're trusting in someone else, specifically you. You either trust in God or you're trusting in yourself. Remember, the idea of humility is that I'm trusting in something other than myself. Pride is where I'm trusting in me. I'm looking at me. I'm depending upon me. And we're not trusting God. We have to depend upon the Lord. Will you allow God to help you? There's the idea of humility. There's something in us when we get prideful is that we don't allow people to help us. We don't allow God to help us. That's pride. You know, some people only imagine pride as the goofballs who say, look at how great and wonderful I am. But just as much pride as that is, the idea, well, I'm just worthless and I just can't do anything. And oh, that's pride too. Yep. Because you're not trusting in God. Oh, I'm just worthless. I'm not going to trust in God just because he just won't pay attention to me anyways. You're not trusting in God. So both of those are pride. You're either trusting in God or you're trusting in something else. You either let God help you or you try to let something else help you. The idea is that I could go to God. I need you. Lord, I'm having a good day. I need you. Lord, I'm having a bad day. I need you. I'm having it work and it's going well. I need you. I'm having a thing at work and it's not going well. I need you. We need God for everything. Whenever we think we've got it, we're in trouble. This is this idea that it talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You're either trusting in God or you're not. And when we're, you can't halfways trust God and halfways trust something else. Amen. It's all or nothing. That's the idea of unstable man. Are you trusting or are you not? We could trust God. Now, God is always previous. We've talked about that before. That God uses trials to humble us, to bring us to the place where we realize we need him. I need him. I need him. God is not doing these things because he feels like he has to pick on people and he needs a certain quota to pick on. He's doing these things because he knows this is what we need in order to trust in him. He knows us best. The Christian faith reveals true humility, meaning that when we put on a trial, when we're in a good thing, our faith is going to reveal whether we're humble or not, true humility. I need Jesus. What is the definition of faith? Looking unto Jesus. I need him. We also understand, as the book of James is going to go on, it's going to give this description, that our Christian faith is demonstrated by work. Notice, if you don't mind, we're going to jump ahead. We'll hit this in a lesson later on. But notice with me James chapter 2. James chapter 2. And notice with me in verse number 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, but what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, when it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, though thou have faith, and I have works, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. If thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. And the devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, there's a lot in here. But we understand that our Christian faith is demonstrated by work. What do we mean by this? That we're going to believe God for something or we're not. It's going to be demonstrated in our faith of God. Do I believe that God is God? Yes. Then it's going to be proved by me serving him. And it gives an example. All right. So let's say that one of you, bad times have come. Yeah. And you're at the place where you're wearing rags and they're bare, three see-through. And now let's specifically say that it's a person of our own church. All right. And hard times have come, and your clothes are bare and see-through, that you're starving, you haven't eaten for a while, and then on top of that, you come, and you're asking for help, and say, man, I don't have a fire, again, using the first century thing. I don't have heating in my house. I haven't eaten in a while. The rats in my house are starving and they're moving out because there's nothing here. I'm at the place. And we say, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you. Great. Wonderful. What good does that do me right now? Mm-hmm. I'm praying for you. I mean, that sounds really thing. But if it's talking about in the context, if I have the ability to, and I don't help, and I just say, I'm praying for you, what good does that do? Does that make me look super spiritual? Not to the person that's struggling.
Right.
And so it's going to be demonstrated that if I believe that God will take care of me, that God will supply. Good example. All right. My pastor, when he was a young preacher boy, he had saved money for a new pair of shoes. He needed some new church shoes. His ones were getting all raggedy and old and messed up. And so he was excited, went to church. And as he was at church, there was a missionary there. And as the missionary was praying, he noticed the missionary had big old holes in his soles. I mean, just, you could see the sock all the way through. I mean, this thing there. And the Lord told him, you know what? That missionary, see his feet? You need to take care of him. And my pastor's like, no, I need new shoes. You understand, I need new shoes. And God says, do you believe I could take care of you? Take care of the missionary. You know, and there was that fight. You know, he had the ability. It didn't mean he had excess money.
Right.
But he had the ability. He happened to have enough money for a pair of shoes in his pocket. So he surrendered, went out and said, missionary, can you come with me? And they went and bought him some shoes and put them on. And now the missionary, my pastor said, well, I don't have any shoes. I'm running out. You know, my pastor has been pastoring for 30 years now, and he says, I've never bought a pair of shoes for myself anymore. God's always sent someone to buy my shoes for me. I've never even asked now. People take care of them. Why? Because he exercised faith. He had the ability to do so, that God was able to take care of his needs, and that God wanted to use him to meet someone else's needs. Does that make sense? That's how God works, by the way. God doesn't have a money tree. If you have a money tree in your backyard, please let me know. And tithe off of it, right? So we don't have money tree. How does God supply? How does he meet your needs? He uses people to do so. And so you may have a need and you say, God, I really have a need. I have to pay this bill. I mean, is he going to send just money coming from heaven? He uses people to get his work accomplished. And so part of it is people who obey the Lord. And God uses that person to take care of them, and knowing that God could take care of my needs the same way. Does it make sense?
Yes.
That God is able to do so. And it goes on and talks about the faith without works is dead. That someone can say, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of the Lord, but I don't read my Bible. Does that match up? I'm a Christian, I'm a good, close follower of the Lord, but I don't go to church. Does that match up? No, because faith without works is dead. Now, may I also give an understanding that I don't serve God in order to get something from him. I don't try to serve God so that way God smiles on me and says, that's my boy. And because you're my boy, here you go. I don't serve God in order to get something from him. I serve God because of what he's already done for me. It's a reactory love. It's not, I'm trying to get it. You understand the motive changes. For example, if I work to be saved, if I do all these things, all this stuff, I'll know I'm going to heaven. No, because I know I'm going to heaven, I do these things. My motive is love, not selfishness. I'm not trying to get something from God. I'm doing it because of what he's already done for me. That's a big deal. This is what it's speaking about. Remember, we're talking about the type of faith they had in the first century. And this is part of it, that it's demonstrated by my works that I truly trust in God. If I say I trust in God and I do nothing for the Lord, I'm not really trusting in the Lord. Faith always produces action. We had talked about that in the book of Hebrews. Remember Hebrews 11, it has faith described. And it says, by faith, the Bible character, and then the actions. Faith always produces action. Always. So faith without works is dead. If I'm trusting in God, it's going to be evidenced by me serving God. I believe God could provide, but I'm not going to read my Bible. Are you really trusting in God? You guys have all heard the old joke where there was a big flood and the people were on top of their house or the roof and they said, all right, God, I want you to save me. And so someone came with a rowboat and said, come in. No, 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 I can't take the rowboat. I'm expecting God to save me. And so after that, another boat came. No, 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 I'm not taking this boat. I'm going to expect God to save me. And then a plane came by and one of the seaplanes that they landed. Come on, come on. Or a helicopter. No, 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 I'm not going to do it. And finally, the water rose up and the guy drowned and died. When they got to heaven, they said, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent three things by. How come you didn't grab those things? You know, we understand faith without works is dead. We have to trust in God, and there has to be a step of faith, trusting that God is working. And then one last thing, our Christian faith is motivated by God's gift. As we look at James chapter 1 again, notice what it says as we now pick it back up in verse number 12. Blessed is that man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, for which the Lord promised to them that love them. What we find here is that God actually has a crown prepared for those that love him. Because we love him, we're going to trust him. We're going to depend upon him. That we're trusting that God is going to supply. God is going to take care of things. If we love him, it is going to be produced by action. Let me give a demonstration for that. All right, so let's say that my wife is here. And I look at her and say, you know what? I love you. I adore you. I just want to stand here and just stare at you. I know it's been a couple days, but I'm just going to stare at you. You know, after a while, that may kind of disturb my wife just a bit. But then she says, you know what? You need to go to work. You need to go do this. No, 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 no. I don't need to work. I just need to just adore you and stare at you. But you got to go do something. There's things that need to be done. Or, no, 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 no. I don't have to. I just want to adore you. Is that going to be love understood by my wife? No. Because I love my wife, there's going to be action that is produced. Does that make sense? Because I love my wife, I want to work. Because I love my wife, I took care of some things around the house. Because I love my wife, it's going to be carried out in action. There, you know, this idea that I just want to sit and adore you, it doesn't work. Love always produces action. Faith always produces action. In fact, through the rest of the book of James, you're going to see that tied close, that if you have faith, It is going to be evidenced by your actions. If you say that I love the Lord, it's going to be produced by actions. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. How does Jesus understand we love him? By us obeying him. So if we say, I love the Lord, and we don't read our Bibles, does that match up? No. If you could forgive my little asterisks. I deal with preachers all the time, try to encourage them, bless them, and whatnot, let them just rant at me. And every once in a while, I have some preacher who will say, yeah, these people over here, they don't want to read their Bible. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to go witness to people and stuff, but they love the Lord. And I'll say, no, they don't. You know why? He's trying to make them, you know, not just complain and try to say something good about him, but no, they don't love the Lord. If they love the Lord, it'd be evidenced by them obeying the Lord. Faith produces action. Love produces action. That faith isn't there to get something from it, but because we have faith, because we have love, there's going to be action done. It's going to be demonstrated, and it's going to be motivated by God and who he is. It all begins with God. It all ends with God. God is the goal. What we understand here is that we're going to live like a first century Christian. It begins with our vision of God. Who is God? And we respond to the God that we see. We respond to God by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.